No!
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 What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host. With me is the very funny Mr. Brian Vokey.
Hello.
And today we have...
I'm wearing the headphones and I get self-conscious when I wear the headphones.
No, I like that you sound like a puppet.
I can hear my nasty fat throat breathing in here.
You don't have a fat throat.
You've never been in there.
Oh my God.
I'm talking the inside of my throat. It is fat.
Okay.
It's not like an appearance issue. It's just science.
Science, scientifically yeah. Fat.
I'm not insecure about
it. I get it. You don't strike me as insecure. No way.
Should we introduce you?
It's your rules.
You want to do it?
Yes, on the podcast today. She's a mother. She's an immigrant. She is behind on her eyebrow waxing. It's Kira Sultanovich, everybody. Woo-hoo.
Where did you immigrate from?
Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. I immigrated from the former Soviet Union.
Ooh.
Ask your grandparents. The USSR.
They're dead, so thank you for bringing that up.
Well, they know what they did.
So you
That's
inspired
why they're
the
dead.
Rolling Stones song.
I inspired. Because
you're back from?
I'm.
Are you going back to?
That's the Beatles.
Going back to?
We
the
might
Beatles,
go.
My bad.
I knew what she meant.
Yeah.
My bad.
I didn't want to correct her.
I did. Should.
She's Latina.
What does that mean?
You'll make that pillow into a shiv.
Stabby.
Tink, 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 tink.
You keep the shiv in the pillow. You don't make the pillow.
You don't make the pillow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's
why. It's all cognito.
I contributed to the browning of society. My husband's Latino.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be beige soon.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Let's get gray. That's like my platform.
Let's gray
get
race.
Gray.
Let's get gray.
We're
why
all
gray? Gray. That's like a zombie.
I just mean all the colors mixed together.
All the color. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
It's like a brownish gray.
It is. Okay. Brownish gray. I see what you're saying. It's
I'm
like
down.
When my kids put all the Play-Doh in one ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. Thanks, douche.
Yeah.
Spent so much money if you just to make dark purple brown.
Yep.
You didn't introduce yourself as a comic at all.
Oh, I'm a comic.
Yeah. You probably should have.
I probably should have. Yikes. What is that subconsciously telling myself and the audience? Gosh, I should probably tell you everything. A lactose intolerant and all other intolerance. Like, I'm just intolerant of everything.
Which is perfect for this podcast because we talk about things we don't like.
That's very true. All right, I'm game. Let's what do you
let's
want
get
start
into it.
With?
Let's start it. Let's start with since you said comic, let's talk about this industry stuff you were talking about.
Yes, I recently got 3 no's in a row.
Oh, that's always fun.
And when you get 3 no's in a row,
mm-hmm.
I think it's called a strike. Is it 3 strikes and you're
yep.
out?
Yep, you're out.
I think they give you your exit paperwork. They have an exit interview. It's you and Drew Carey and Roseanne Barr, and they meet you in an office, and they just say thank you so much for your participation in the
we
company.
We appreciate it, but now you can go do a small room in Vegas.
Yeah, here's
want.
A box full of your stuff,
yeah,
and it's just your oldest CDs you've never even sold. It's some
your first headshot is
yeah,
in there.
Yes, that first black and white headshot where you're like, I'm surprised. And your face is all wackadoo. And
that's something that I do hate. Why are so many like all the clubs I go to, all the female headshots, it's always surprised.
Yeah.
Or it's always like a glamour shot, like something overly done, like overly posed.
Right, right.
Or, twinkle in the eye.
Yeah. Or it's always like, oh, did I just say that?
Did I
like,
say a funny joke?
Ooh. Yeah. Isn't it surprising? Because I'm a lady. Like, it's so.
I love seeing the old black and whites, like in all the comedy clubs.
My first headshot was like that, too.
Oh,
I wasn't even immune to it. I did it as well.
I had a couple real asshole pictures. one of them is I'm in overalls.
Oh, what?
Some Oshkosh Pagosh.
Oh, for sure. Like, that was a choice. It was
Russian
like, this will be cute.
Jew in overalls.
I'm trying to assimilate, all right?
Okay, all right.
Yeah. By the way, we came as refugees.
Okay.
So now that we're in right now, real popular.
Real hot. Yeah. So that's, there's no reason you should have got nose. Like, they should be trying to get.
They should be like, oh yeah, we got to get a refugee up in here. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not the right kind of refugee.
Oh, that's it.
No, we all can't be funny Syrians.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So I got three nose. So I submitted for your listeners that know the process. You got to submit for late night, right? Mm-hmm. Four minutes, 5 minutes. I tried to get this tape together. Tape. Who am I? Don Rickles.
We still call it tape.
Tape. I know. Yeah, I tried to get this.
Hasn't been on tape in a long time.
This flash drive together. Yeah.
I'm really trying to put together this SD card.
Right. And it's from the Comedy Magic Comedy Club in Hermosa Beach, everybody, mm-hmm. which is a great place because they record all your sets. And they give you everything on a little jump
and
drive.
Jay thing. Leno's the door guy there, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He is the door guy.
I thought he was just the valet because he likes driving everybody else's car around.
He does both.
Those are all just his car in the parking lot. There's no parking because it's all of his cars.
He has an 87 Acura. Who knew? Collector's item. Yeah. And so I would go there, and these poor DJ guys, they saw the same set from me 100 times mm-hmm. because I just would go there specifically to try out the set because a lot of other clubs, you're not going to get like a good audience that represents the rest of America,
right.
you know, and they, right. it's like the further out from LA you go, like, so Hermosa or Ice House in Pasadena, you know, mm-hmm. you just kind of go outskirts. You get a great representation, right? Of Americana. I worked on this for so long, submitted it to, the people at Colbert mm-hmm. and, the folks at, what's
Fallon?
His face? Fallon, thank you. And I got not only no's, I got one of the worst words that I think in showbiz, in dating, just everything.
It's not you, it's us?
No, it's one word.
What is it?
Pass.
Yeah. That's it? Wow.
It's like, it's like in that moment.
Wait, who said that in dating?
Well, like, you know,
like
just someone
speed dating. Yeah. Like somebody just like, sits down, pass.
But I mean, it's like, that's what Tinder has turned
you're right,
into,
never
right?
Mind.
Everything's just
that's
like swipe, yeah, pass, right. pass. Mm-hmm. It's like such a fast, like.
Fast no. It's a quick it's no.
Like, it's a pass.
Like, not even consideration, no.
Right. It's just such a, like, I don't even like your face or your body. Like, it feels very, very personal.
Right.
It's not like, hey, great set. I get they can't write that to all the hundreds of people right. submitting, but. That's just part of this industry, which drives me so crazy because you have so many people submitting for, let's be honest. I mean, there are probably only maybe a little over a dozen spots a year maybe because they don't have a comic on. Like, I mean,
no,
it's every other week or so or
at
whatever.
The most, yeah. With Colbert, it's very rare.
It's rare, right?
Yeah.
And so let's just be generous and say 15 to 20 a year, let's just say. But that's hundreds upon hundreds of comedians who are submitting, who most of them are not, it's not only not prepared, they're not ready at all, like zero.
So is there no filtration system where it doesn't get to their desk unless it's passed on from somebody who
knows?
I mean,
isn't that what representation is? Like, that's what that's.
Is it like an open submission?
No, not really. But there are ways to get the connection. You know, like there are ways. I didn't go through my manager because my manager, they're very nice people. But I wouldn't even trust them to manage, like, my real estate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're just, they're sweet and they submit me, but I feel like stand-up, you really have to know the nuances.
Right.
So I got two no's, and I was like, what do you need to do? And then you watch the shows, and this is not, you know, oh, and then Conan, I'm sorry. So I did submit to Conan as well.
Right.
And it's not a smackdown on who they do book.
Sure, of course.
Because, great, you got yourself on there. I don't take anything away from anyone that can get themselves on a
right.
late night show.
How it's how they're getting on.
It's the fact that, like, I know, and this is not even, it's hard for a comic, for me at least, to be like so boastful, but right. I just know that I am definitely qualified. Do you know what I mean? To be on that show.
Of course. You're going to get the
so
job
that's,
done.
That's the frustration. So, like, when you get those three no's, so technically it was four no's because then I tried to get on a corporate roster for something. And when you get those in a row, you're like, is everyone trying to tell me something? And then you see some Facebook video that's like, you know, Deepak Chopra almost quit and Mother Teresa almost quit.
Yeah.
And then they didn't and they became the best people on the planet. And you're like, all right, I'm not
fine.
I'm not going to
quit.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not going to quit. I have no other skill set. Zero.
Right.
Zero. The only thing I can do excel is like a car. Like, I don't have any, like, I don't know how to work a computer. Like, I'm an idiot. But it's that feeling of like, Jesus, it makes you feel like you're playing the game sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, where you land on that one block. Sorry. Go back 9 paces. Yep. Beep.
Or you're going to start all the way. Or trouble, right? When you land on the thing and you're almost there.
Right.
You're right at the door.
Yeah.
And then you got to go all the way back and start all over again. It's just, it's obnoxious.
And
it sucks.
And there's... It's a tricky road path that we've chosen as entertainers and comedians because there really is not one way, but that almost makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
There are 100,000 ways you can, what you deem in your mind, become successful, but that's even more stressful.
Yeah, because that's how I tell everybody, like how Los Angeles is. It's like the first time you ever try to watch something on Netflix, how overwhelming it is because there's so many options.
Yeah,
you don't know which way to go, so it's like it's almost like stifling.
You just watch something you've already seen before. It's like, oh, exactly. The Wonder Years. I've seen that.
Something I can recognize, right. And you just try to.
Usually, it's like, oh, there's a fork in the road. Which way do I go? This isn't even a fork. This is like
all the roads in one crossroad.
Craziest labyrinth of, you know, just cocaine lined egomaniacs, just full of hepatitis. That's all the roads are. Yeah. And all of them, any and all. It's bananas. So there's just that feeling that just drives me crazy when you're like, all right, time to regroup again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a long time. Long time.
I just take it as me being a good Catholic. Like every time I fail at something, because it's like, oh, a vow of poverty. Like I'm a better Catholic than the other ones.
Even though you're not like a practicing Catholic.
No, I'm an atheist.
You just have
the only thing I took on was the guilt and the vow of poverty. But
that came out anti-Semitic, I'll be honest with you. It kind of
were you
did,
reading
right?
my thoughts or was it what I actually said?
Yeah. Did you hear the way he was like judgy? Well, I'm a Catholic and I'm a good Catholic. And that's what we money's not important to us. And then in parentheses, money grubbing Jew. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
he felt it.
He's also squinted at you a little bit.
Right.
So he didn't look at me when he said it.
Nope.
He definitely looked directly
right at me. And he was squinting.
The opening scene to Annie Hall right now.
He was squinting like, can I see her horns from here? Like, let me see if I can focus in.
Is her tongue forked?
Yep.
Oh,
like the roads of Hollywood.
Speaking of judgy, you don't like judgy moms.
I don't like judgy moms.
Are you a judgy mom?
Yes.
So is this like a character?
I have to be because I just said I don't like judgy moms. I'm therefore judging.
So is it like the part of yourself that you don't like and that you see in other people that you can't stand?
Okay. It's being a parent is just like being a comic. It really truly is.
Is that why so many people are bad at it?
Hacks. They're hacky parents.
They're hacky parents.
You just do what your parents did. Just follow that same path of least resistance and screaming and yelling and hitting. Are you comfortable? You're sitting
on my
bamboo floors that are...
This is bamboo?
Renewable.
I thought it was solid gold.
Also, that was also a very anti-Jew.
All the gold that you hoard.
Here's why being
it's
a parent.
It's hidden in the floors, I tell you.
It's not hidden.
You got it everywhere.
I'll tell you what's hidden in the floors. More Jews. Come on. I can say that, everybody. Too soon?
Carmen's just easily offended. Sorry.
Carmen.
Yes, I'm easily offended.
When you're on the road as a comic, right? Like, you have to get to, let's say, Scratch Your Ass, Arkansas. Right?
Yes.
There's a great room out there.
Yeah. Made out with a dude there once.
Yeah. So you got to like deal with the booker who's a weirdo and pays you in like
Banjo Canadian strings dollars.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like something weird. And then you got to like, okay, so you get to the airport and it's like, oh my God, LAX. And you're like, why? can't people just take off their shoes? And then you get through TSA and then your flight is going through Denver. And of course, because it's winter, it's delayed. And so then you're there and you're like, oh my God, I have to get on a flight because I can't miss this show. And so you get on another one and then that's a shitty middle seat and you're sweating and you're tired. And you ate the food on the plane, so that's not going to turn out well for you.
I literally just lived this. Yeah. Like I had, yeah.
Yeah, and so you get to Scratch Your Ass, Arkansas, and you got to rent a car because Scratch Your Ass is not near any airport. So right. You drive 2 hours into the mountains where children don't wear shoes.
In a Model T with moonshine in the back.
Right, exactly. And
it's actually running on alcohol. That's how the cars run there.
You finally get there, and the booker said, no, I didn't tell you you had a room at Red Roof Inn. You had to book your room at Red Roof Inn. Oh, great. So that, okay, so I'll book my hotel room now. That's the only hotel is a Red Roof Inn,
yep.
Which is a great place to get murdered, hence the Red Roof. So then you get there and then you're like, I am a mess. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm going to have a vending machine dinner because there's nothing mm-hmm. else open except for an Arco.
Hope they have sun chips.
Right, yep. Exactly. And so you have your vending machine dinner. You rush to the show because your flight was late and all that BS. And you do this, you get on stage and surprisingly, it's a packed house. Everybody is excited to be there. They come for the comedy and you're like, holy shit, this is going to be good.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You headline, you do your 45 hour, it kills. You're like, oh my God, that was worth it. He pays you in American dollars.
Wow.
We're like, this is another yeah. great surprise.
Wow.
I know this president.
And then you, I know this president. And then you get back in your rental car. That was broken into while you were on stage. And then you drive
in it.
To the Red Roof Inn and maybe get gonorrhea from the sheets. But that moment on stage was so like, this is why I went through all of
yeah.
this.
Yeah, I've gotten gonorrhea for way worse
right?
situations.
That's not that bad. And yeah. so that's what parenting is. So parenting
so
is
it's mostly shit in these moments.
What's
of
the time on stage? Give me an example of what would feel like crushing for an hour.
This past weekend, took the kids because we had an open house. We're selling our place. We took the kids out of town, so we wouldn't
you
be
get
here
all
for
these
the
gold out of here.
I know.
And we were at Carpinteria. Do you guys know where that is? Just south of Santa Barbara.
Mm-mm.
It's just a really cool beach. They have camping like right on mm-hmm. the beach. It's just super friendly. Everyone is just really nice.
Wait, is cool. that where the dunes are? All those sand dunes that you can camp in on the beach. I think I've been there.
I think so. But there's like tide pools. It's just yeah. like a really uh-huh. cute, sweet place.
Yep.
And it's a very nice community feeling. Yeah. You're down
Oprah
there.
Oprah lives over by there.
Oprah lives in Montecito.
Yeah, yeah.
A little further up. But yeah, it's totally close. Yeah. We were up there. We had to, you know, sit in traffic like, oh my God. We get to the hotel room. Then the kids are screaming and yelling because we brought one toy, which we should have brought two, and they have to share now. So they were losing their fucking minds.
Right.
But then the next day, we were at the beach and their minds were blown. We saw crabs and little like... we saw, I'll show you pictures.
I remember the first time I saw a starfish. I lost
right,
my mind.
We saw a starfish.
Yeah, I lost my mind,
it,
dude.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they were doing sand and making castles and we got all the sand toys and they were running around in the waves. And that's that time on stage.
Okay.
And then we got back to the hotel and-
So it's seeing, one of them it's bit seeing one of them. Something that you, like a person that you made people.
Yeah, we made
it's
people.
Seeing a person that you made-
Discover life.
Discover in like the wonderment and the joy and all that stuff. Yes. That's what makes it all worth it.
Yes.
Because all my friends who have kids, the time they send me pictures and they're really talking nice about their kid is when it's asleep. And they always send pictures of their kids. They look at this angel and it's like, I feel like the only time you like your kid is when it's asleep.
I mean, look.
I got one yesterday.
All the complaining. Well, that's just creepy that they're sending you pictures of their kids asleep.
Well, they're former students of mine and stuff with parents that I'm in touch with.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all the complaining I do, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a little plug, kids. My podcast is mm-hmm. I talk to comics who have kids and we talk about how they cock block our careers.
Yeah.
And that's all we do. You know, it's not complaining, but you know, we talk
What's
to each
the name
other.
Of it?
It's just my name. The Kira Sultanovich Show. That's
oh, nice.
It.
Oh,
that's
and that, it. The podcast is just called Kira Sultanovich. Like, who do you
it's
think
just
you
Kira,
are?
Kira, 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 Kira. It's 15 Kiras in a row with lots of exclamation points. And the upside down ones, like in Spanish. Very yeah. excited.
That's cool.
Sábado, domingo. Anyways, yeah. And we just talk about kids. And I really love my kids. oh my God, their faces. I will eat their faces one day and probably be in jail for it. Like, I want to eat their, they're just the sweet. But it's like, it's like comedy. It's like comedy. You have to go through so much. I have a bit that I love now that I hated a year ago. Like my children. You know what I mean? It's like I, you work on it. You have to teach these jokes how to become real jokes. You have to every day pay attention to the jokes, which means go and get a spot every night, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. I don't know about you guys. It's probably easier for you, but I got to like get my butt off the couch after I put him down to sleep, you know, hope to take a shower. It doesn't mm-hmm. always happen. By the way, that's another thing. I'm always sweaty. Always, always, always. It drives me crazy. I take a shower. I get out of the shower, sweat. Immediately. Like, yeah. And a little bit of pee. There's always a little bit of pee in my pants.
Couple drops.
Always.
A couple drops.
Couple drops of pee. Always.
You think
smell.
That's just like a mom? Like every mom is a little sweaty and has a touch of pee?
I mean, maybe, probably. They don't talk about it, but I'm willing to talk about it. And so I have to get this sweaty little bit of pee in my pants body and drive over the hill and go and try and, you know, make these jokes grow up to be something.
Yeah.
So it's very similar.
So it's like you have two comedy careers that you're living at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah.
People who don't want kids, and I love this about you, are so like, and I love this. So I'm saying this with love.
Uh-huh.
Vocal about hating children.
I actually am. I don't like kids and I like kids. Like,
yeah,
I love
worked with them. How did you do that?
I am basically a 4-year-old. So I would get on the ground and play with them.
It's like, yeah, I like to play with them, but I don't want to discipline them. I don't want to tell them.
I don't mind all that stuff. You know, I went to school for early childhood education.
Why?
I am just, I don't know. I like watching kids grow. I like exactly what you're talking about. I like watching them develop. I like helping them learn.
But I think that's everybody. Everybody wants that part so that you get through the teenage years and don't murder them, right?
Well, yeah.
When they get to become opinionated pricks.
Yes.
And they think they know everything and they don't know anything.
Well, that's what I tell my husband all the time. I go, look at our 6-year-old and the way he's talking to us. Now magnify that times 1,000 when he's 16. We gotta like foster now this, this trust. Like, hey, we're cool.
Yeah.
Tell us everything. If someone is doing heroin, we have to tell us. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because my parents, they never were like, please share your feelings with me. You know what I mean? They were like, shut up and sit down. That was it. That was my whole childhood.
Right. That was your mantra. Your mom's mantra was shut up and sit down.
Shut up and sit down. 100% true.
Now you stand up and talk.
Yes. See what happens.
Yep. Breakthrough
comes back.
That's why you yell at your kid. You say do heroin and drop out of school.
So they do the opposite. Yeah. Oof. But I was in the sense a good kid because I never did drugs. I never did blowjobs. I didn't do anything. I was a pretty decent kid. I mean, I did a couple blowjobs, but
yeah, I was gonna say
yeah, no, a couple.
There's
but
nothing
not,
wrong
not,
with doing blowjobs.
That's where you learn.
Right, but I'm saying not a lot in high school. College, oh my God, I was like training for Olympics. How else are you going to pass those classes?
You know what I mean?
Those are hard classes.
It's like brushing your teeth once
they
in the morning,
hard,
once at night,
they?
After every
They're
meal.
They're always hard.
Yeah, but I was good. Like, I was the mom of my group, but I think my parents got lucky in that sense. You know, I was the mom. I always want to make sure. I was on penis patrol. So if my friends were in trouble, you know, like there was a guy at a party who wouldn't, you know, stop
Leave
touching.
Alone,
I was this height and everything, boobs, hips.
So you were the cock blocker
at 13. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. I was the one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I was more of a cock guider.
You were like a Sherpa.
Yeah. It's just like an air traffic controller.
Yeah, air
I was just
control.
Like the pussy's here. The cock's here. Everybody fuck. Yeah.
That's really great. You have like management skills. That's good. So what was the question? What drives me crazy? I think I went off a little bit of a tangent. Judgy moms. Oh, so judgment.
Yeah. So you go through this whole thing.
Yes. And I'm judgy.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought this up recently on my own podcast. There's a mom that has a 5 or 6-year-old in kindergarten, like mm-hmm. my kid, at our elementary school, right? But she also has a younger child, like I do. Mm-hmm. And so she drops off her older kid and then she walks to her car and she walks almost a block ahead of her. I'll say he's 2.5. He's definitely not 3 yet.
Oh,
I'm
like
talking
a little baby?
A block ahead of him. It drives me crazy. She's not even like walking backwards and watching him. She's walking. She is walking, and he's just dawdling around, stopping at a bush, you know, farting in his pants, looking at a thing, touching a razor blade, whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
She doesn't even turn back. Now, there's two ways you can look at it. Wow, she knows she has raised this 2.5-year-old to be aware of cars and to be safe. Highly unlikely. Or she doesn't give a fuck. She has 3 kids, and he's the 3rd one, and she is over it.
That's why a lot of those are the ones that look for adoration from audiences.
Oh, yes.
Being comedians.
Can this stranger show me love, please? Yeah. Yeah. So that, like, I'm a judgy mom. I look at her and I go, what's wrong with you? What is happening right now inside your brain that you think that is okay? Have you just clocked out? Or are you on whatever prescription that's just like, everything is neutral?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it looks
like
on her
that.
Face.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that.
Those zanny moms.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm judgy, but there's also judgy moms that drive me absolutely crazy, because sometimes you're judgmental without having all the information or the knowledge.
Right.
And that just drives me.
Maybe that kid
like,
sucks.
You don't know if that kid, yeah, well, you don't that know kid, if that kid, like,
that kid
will
suck.
Stop and stay forever if she's there with him. And, like, so he knows he has a destination to get to, and that keeps him going.
Could
that
be. Could,
that's
sure.
Kind of, well, that's kind of like dog training, what you're describing. That's not really
I see people do it with their
parent.
Children all the time.
Well, okay.
With their children.
I picture this kid getting stolen, and she's like Willy Wonka. Like, wait, don't. No.
That's what I'm saying. Where it is, do you not have, are you so trusting of just the other people in the world? Like, I guess I'm just really not trusting, because I would never turn my back on my kid and walk almost a block ahead of him or her. Ever.
Well, especially not when they're teeny tiny babies.
So little, just walk into traffic.
Right.
So
that means that
easy.
They just, 2 or 3, they just learned how to walk like not like a weeble wobble.
They're
you know?
Like an open micer. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing
they
yet.
Have no idea.
Yes.
They don't
but
even know
fair,
the mic
stand
out of
your people are generally overbearing mothers, right?
So then there's that.
Uh-huh.
So then there's people that probably think I'm overbearing, and yet I think I give my kids pretty good, you know, loose, well, the older one, not the younger one, but like loose kind of boundaries where it's like, okay,
you
let's
them
make
climb things
choice.
That might fall. And
oh,
stuff.
These kids, do you see my house?
Yeah.
This, I could probably get them taken away from me. If some like CPS person yeah, came in yeah. here, they climb this and they jump on the couch. We
oh,
move this.
I would drop elbow drops right into this couch.
Yeah, it's so, but I let that my husband, it drives him crazy, but I let them because I feel like, if we don't, then they're going
to let them be a little bit explored.
You have to.
And
that's
figure out.
Otherwise, that's how so every psychology of every school shooter has been. They
oh,
didn't.
Geez.
They didn't get to fall. They didn't get to play. They didn't get to scrape.
Oh no!
They were.
They don't know any pain.
They were,
I push my kid down and make him.
Yeah, that's great. He's not going to shoot anybody now.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good. yeah, I just like here's something that really I don't regret. I don't regret, but. I might have done differently. If there was a way to go back, maybe I'd do differently, is we circumcised, and being uncircumcised is now the total rage, everybody.
Yeah,
and I got this mom yell that. At me once at a park, and I just, it like-
For a circumcision?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here.
We were all part of this yoga mommy group.
Ugh.
And after our kids were born, prenatal yoga, you know?
Yeah,
so after
yeah.
they were born, we all got together and they were all around 6 months old. And I was changing his diaper and we all had like our blankets together at the park.
Nice,
you know,
yeah.
we all like spread our toys out and all the kids were crawling all over, right? So I just changed his diaper right there in front of everybody. Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
And she looked over and she goes, how could you?
But
I go, what?
I hate this woman
she
so
goes,
much.
How could you mutilate your son? I'm like, oh my God.
I want to mutilate her.
And she's British too. So it's like, that's not done at all in the UK, which I get it. And I said,
but you're also Jewish though.
Oh my God. I turned into Anne Frank immediately. I was like, I'm a Jew. I was like, Havan.
Yeah.
I became
it's
so
for God. blood.
I became so Jewish in that moment, even though that's not why we did it. It's not why we did it at all.
Dudes are sloppy. Don't give them extra things to clean.
Look, but now I'll be honest with you. I might not. Like, I don't know. If someone was like magically like wave a wand to that moment, I might just be like, just keep it. Keep the foreskin.
It looks better. Like you cut your hair because it looks better that way.
But okay. So again.
So it's just for a vanity?
Yeah, that's fine. And it's cleaner.
But it's not your choice. It's not your choice. It's the kid's choice. You're deciding your kids stick forever.
No, because it's too much more pain. It's too painful when they're an adult. They'll never get it done.
It's the same amount of pain. It's just a tiny baby.
No, well, I don't know. It's not.
No.
Why?
Because the recovery is much more difficult. The recovery on a baby penis, there's like nothing in it. Like, have you ever seen baby nuts?
Yeah.
No.
They're like cute little, like, like the almonds that you get at a wedding. They're fucking adorable. You know what I mean? They're like little small baby nuts.
You haven't.
First of all, almonds would be huge on a baby.
Yeah. The baby nuts are empty. No, they're empty sacks. There's nothing in. They're like paper.
Oh, what age? I guess
I'm not talking
like,
about newborn. Well, I'm not fresh circumcised a 1 year old.
Fresh nuts.
That's what I'm like when you. Oh, no.
No, I'm talking like it's an hour old. Mm-mm. It's an hour old, right? Because the nuts haven't dropped. They're like, no. So it's like the thinnest little paper. I was so scared. Oh my God. I was scared of them. I mean, it's the first time I was scared of nuts, I'll be honest with you. Because usually I'm like all about them.
Yeah.
And
they're there. But
here's why we did it. I'll tell you why we did it. And this is what I told the judgy mom too. And she just was so rude to me. My nephew, born in Russia, right? Soviet Union. Nobody was circumcised because no religion is allowed.
Right.
And when we immigrated, right?
Oh, that's a good gut punch to her right off the gate.
When he turned 13.
Immigration story.
Yeah.
He wanted a bar mitzvah. And so the rabbi said, you got to get circumcised.
There's a violin playing behind you as you tell this story.
Yeah. And so he got circumcised at like whatever, 12 and a half, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And
it was like the worst?
No. I called him maybe a month before I delivered. With my first, knowing like, okay, it's a boy. And I called him. I go, I don't know what to do.
But you just said it'd be worse if he was older. If he was 12, it wasn't that bad. Like, what's the difference?
No, it was bad. But I'm saying like, he didn't regret it. When you're 12 and a half, right? You had a 12 and a half year old penis.
I did.
You know what it does. Like, you know what it's capable of, right?
It touches everything in the house.
Right. Literally. Oh, already my six-year-old has probably had sex with
what you're
sitting on.
The light bulb is still warm.
Yeah.
You just put it on the light bulb after you turn the lamp off.
Just put it in, you're like, honey, don't fuck the gold.
I mean,
I'm just looking for things that he's probably fucked.
My six-year-old has put his penis everywhere in this house. So I call my nephew. At the time, he was like 25. And I go, I need to talk to you about your penis. He's like, sure, what do you want to know? And I said, about your circumcision. And he said, best decision. I was like, why? Tell me why. He goes, I really prefer it circumcised.
It's easier to clean. You're less likely to get a disease.
But that's why
not necessarily why
was
true.
The, why, was true. The, why are they born that way then? Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's science behind that. You can look it up.
There's science. Google it. Dr. Google will tell you.
But there's no, like, there's
no, there's absolutely proof. Like, the because it's hard for men to get HIV from women through, like, vaginal sex. It's not that easy for men to get HIV that way. But the people who do get HIV from vaginal intercourse have a extremely higher percentage of not being circumcised because it's like an incubator for the virus. When it closes over it, it contains the virus and it gives you better chance of exposure.
And that's all true. But intactivists, which is what they're called, keeping a boy intact, will also tell you that they call it mutilation. And why don't you allow your daughter to get mutilated?
It's so different though.
I know. So that really, like, it was hard. When you're a first-time mom, everything affects you so much. I mean, everything. It's
right.
Like, what is it?
It's the first time you make people.
Are you the oldest?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No. Why?
That just doesn't fit my psychology.
Oh, what's your psychology of me? Tell me.
The fact that you're saying you're the group mom and the most responsible, usually that's the oldest.
You know why? Because I was very independent as a child, and I'm a people pleaser. So I want everyone to be taken care of. I want everyone to be happy. I was happy to drive. so that all my friends could drink and party, and then I would drive everyone home at the end of the night. And it made me feel,
I did a lot of that.
Yeah, it made me feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they're safe. Everyone had a good time. I don't need to drink to have a good time, so I never really drank. Right. I recently told someone that I've never finished a beer, and they couldn't handle it. They were like, they couldn't speak. Like,
I love you people because I finish your beers.
I don't order beers. I don't drink beer. I don't drink really at all.
Yeah.
But it just blew her mind. She just couldn't compute. She's
yeah, I
just
can't
like,
either.
Can't understand. It's like smoke coming
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the psychology, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was alone all the time right. as a kid. All the time. So I just.
Now you spend your days alone in front of crowds.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I feel.
Nights, really.
What's
nights.
That?
Nights, not days.
Nights, yes. If you're lucky, a nooner or junior college. Who books that?
Come on now.
Hook me up.
In a cafetorium? Shut what? Up. Don't
next,
brag.
Next to a vending machine that won't accept this little Asian international student's dollar. And he kept putting it zzz, 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 every time I would do a setup. And it was right next to me.
Ugh.
It was this junior college in Maryland. Ugh. And he would put it on his leg and like, you know, try to yeah, iron it out. Yeah. And he's mm-hmm. like, and put it in. I go, I will buy you a Coke if you walk away. I will give you $5.
I'll buy you cocaine if you walk away.
Just leave this vending machine now. It's so crazy when you do colleges. Oh, we can talk about that. We can talk about how the inconsistency of the gigs that you do in this industry. I mean, you have to just stay on your toes. You have to remain so constant within these crazy tsunami yeah. waves. Yes. I did this beautiful.
It's like the least respected one. That's why it literally you'll throw somebody in the corner of a seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
Or you're also in front of 2,000 people in a theater. Like it's both of those things.
Oh my
and
God.
It doesn't matter how good you are. You still have to do both of those things.
And you have yep. to do it equally.
Yeah.
You have to like pretend I'm in the theater. And I was in a theater at this college and it was beautiful. It was like one of these oldie time, like New England colleges. And I mean, talk about gold, like the balconies had gold and had statues. And, oh my God. And there was like a stage manager and they were all on walkie talkies and talent is here. Okay, let's get her water.
Bates.
Dressing room. Oh, I can't remember. It was like a small little
Maine?
New England-y school. Mm. Yikes, New Hampshire something.
Mm. Oh, Dartmouth. Remember.
And they were like, make sure the talent goes to her dressing room and there's like a fruit platter and a thing, right? And then you go on stage and it's packed and, you know, Daniel Tosh isn't there the same night as you. Ugh. and so everyone's there and you just like, this is why I'm doing this, right? And then the next night I went to, Kentucky and I did a hallway.
Yeah.
No, a hallway.
Yeah.
Where people are walking.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not even fazed. I'm like, yeah, no, I know I've done that gig. I know who books that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, why is this my life tonight?
Yeah.
But you have to stay constant. You're like on this surfboard and the wave goes up and you got to like, okay, here I go. Just stay on your surfboard, your little comedy surfboard. Mm-hmm. And then when you crash, you got to paddle out again, catch that next great gig until it turns into a shitty gig.
And it makes you unstoppable, though, in this way. Like, do you remember in Woodstock 94 when there was the mud on the stage? Like, Green Day, when they did their set, they started throwing the mud back, and they had an iconic set that made them millionaires because of that set.
Yeah.
And it's because they were a DIY band, and they did basically what all comics do. They played in hallways. They played in basements. And they were ready to handle any situation. I think that's why all the big people who break through, you cannot phase them because they've done everything.
Yeah.
They've done everything.
I've done comedy in a cafeteria.
That's the motivational speech I give myself when I'm about to hang myself in the closet I'm performing it.
I'm telling you. When your voice is being fucking broadcasted in the same PA as them being like, we have an order for French fries. And like somebody's ordering their college lunch, their Chick-fil-A sandwich.
So I didn't have a good relationship with my father. B12? B12?
Essentially what it is.
Oh my God.
It's funny, like people hired us to interrupt people's lives with our art. It's so weird.
That's so funny. I'm going to interrupt you with my words.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With my jokes.
I mean, that's how I, like, that's how I got through the gig at the seafood restaurant is like, I was on the same chalkboard as the tilapia. Like I just was a side dish. Yeah. I was something that they
you
had
were special
to order.
For
yeah.
The night.
I did a show in Fresno last weekend or 2 weekends ago where I acknowledged to the crowd. I was like, I know you didn't ask for this. I was like, I'm sorry.
But I'm still contractually obligated to, I'm not leaving without my $50. You're taking this.
You know, I
wish it was 50.
I booked it. It's Fresno 50. Yeah, so it's not the same as regular 50. But like, I just did like a huge, huge corporate event, right? Where you're getting paid like what? Crazy money. Yeah. And I tried to just, and thankfully it went well because those can also go poorly. Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. Because I think anything that's not in a comedy club has the potential to just be like
the worst.
Awful. Mm-hmm. It's like I tell people, I'm a dentist and I want to give you a root canal in my dental chair with my dental tools.
Yep.
People are like, can you give me a root canal on a canoe? Yeah. I mean, I guess I could.
Okay.
It's not going to be the same.
And you're going to get paid so much less. The more difficult the room, the less you're getting paid.
Yeah. Right. How about on a white water raft?
But just to like stay with the theme of your podcast of what like drives me crazy and what I hate is when you are at these like fancy schmancy, you know, corporate galas and they're paying you like a lot of money. They feel like they kind of own you a little bit.
Yeah, you're like Richard Pryor, the toy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a place in my career where I can't be like, look, you hired me. I'm going to do what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm always like, absolutely. Whatever you need. You know what I mean? I'm always like, what? 100%. And that kind of, again, makes me feel like, dang it. Like I, as an artist, let's say you do oil on canvas and that's your thing. And someone's like, but how about a pencil sketch? And you're like, okay,
I'll do it.
Cause you're paying me so much money, but it does make you feel like you're constantly asked to
compromise.
That's the word.
Yeah.
And you should compromise. Mm-hmm. Like it sucks that it's about like, I don't want to compromise, but guess what? You should, and you have to.
Yeah,
it sucks. Like you have to be both all the time. You have to be both like rigid with who you are. Like this is my brand.
Right.
That drives me crazy. And then you also have to be willing to bend a little bit, like a reed in the breeze.
Yeah, even the legend Doug Stanhope did the Man Show.
Yeah,
and everybody goes after him as the example for the person who never compromised. But like, you don't know his real story.
He also did a presents back in the day too.
I know.
You know, and also like, why would you base your entire career off of one person? I don't that anyway. But like,
but you know what? Going back to judgy moms, judgy comics it's hard also.
Yes,
because
it's always to me. It's usually a judge. It's usually. The people who are the most judgy are usually the most ignorant, I've found. Because, like, people the working comics, I feel like the only time they get mad is when they get no's several times in a row and aren't like, it's not more like, fuck that guy. It's never like, I'm mad at somebody because they got something. It's like, fuck, I'm mad that I didn't get something, which is to me is righteous. Like, that's like, you're supposed to be upset that in like, for me, it would be like I failed. I didn't get something that I was trying to get.
Yeah,
that's something that I'm mad at myself at, and I'm like grown up enough to acknowledge that. But I think when it's just ignorance, just like, well, I don't like what you do, so you don't deserve that. I deserve that. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I think that only happens. I think it's just like an amateur mentality. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I get it. Like we all have our own tastes and we all think like this is what comedy should be. Mm-hmm. And some people get mad because like that person just jumps around on stage. They don't really have real jokes. And it's like, okay, well that's your opinion and that's fine. Don't buy a ticket to that person's show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're a comic and it's like, you know, you want to invent the electric car and you're getting mad at Elon Musk.
Right.
It's like, just go invent your own electric car. Like, relax. Like, why? But so many comics, you know, you talk in the green room, everyone's shooting the shit and gabbing about the industry. And then someone be like, well, I don't get how that person's famous. They're not funny. It's like, says you.
Right.
But that person, whether they're funny or not, and they might not be, has 3 Netflix specials and gets paid $1 million a special.
Yeah.
And so therefore.
Yeah. Netflix knows the numbers.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, maybe they're not funny, but they are entertaining somebody. Uh-huh. So therefore they must be funny. Like, it's math. You can't say something's not funny. Like, right. That's not ice. Well, people are putting it in a glass and it's keeping their liquid cold.
Yeah.
So it's not ice to you, but it's
because it's not in the right shape or something like that. Yeah, exactly. It's not like I like crushed ice. That's not crushed ice. So it's not ice. It's not ice to me. I don't recognize that as ice.
Exactly.
It's like, all right. Well, it's just yeah. It's
and
not
that's hard.
Your brand of ice.
Mm-hmm. It's hard as a comic to like. I do truly get frustrated when I see someone that I go, wow, that is a blatant like just hack joke. Yep. And you just got paid millions of dollars and you don't even care. Like, there's no integrity anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you just doing it because you're just like, well, they're going to pay me to do this. I mm-hmm. need to do something. But I also don't care. Like, it doesn't affect me at the same time. It's just such a crazy balance you always have to have.
Yeah.
You
it
have
just goes to- back to what you're saying, like the artist part and the compromising, there's got to be a balance of it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, I think what people get mad at is somebody like will not just compromise, but completely transform into whatever it is that like you have a meeting with executives. If you pitch a show, I like the idea of the show, but then the rest of the show entirely changes. You can't be like, well, fuck you, I'm not doing the show then.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
But some people will do that with their sense of self as who they are as a comedian. Mm-hmm. And to that, like, that's always like a bummer to me. Cause to me, it's like, this is your voice. You're the one that gets to talk. Like, you know, it's arrogant. It's like, I think the things that I have to say is worth you paying for me to exist.
I'm sorry. I hear a baby crying.
Okay. Sorry about that interruption. We had a very cute little toddler crying.
We can't have that.
You know.
This time it wasn't me.
But you did shit your pants again. Luckily I have wipes. Yeah. Again, this is one of the things where it's like, when I plan, when I think, okay, here's what I'm gonna try to be a regular human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to make this plan around my kids, and it backfires. It's just like, why? I just wanna just be a comic.
Yeah.
I just wanna be able to do a podcast or go have comedy lunch with you guys, which I didn't bring my kid last time, but the other few times you've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now I know that you're qualified. Oh, so we were saying off air about how there was a dude at one of my daycares. I didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't you trust him?
And do I remind you of this dude?
No, not at all.
He gave you like a pedo vibe? Or he gave you
like, yeah. And I was just like, why is a dude working at a daycare? Like, what are you, who do you want to, whose pickle do you want to tickle?
Oh.
This contributes to the glass ceiling that I really suffered from in the preschool industry. Everybody questioning why I even want to be there. That's exactly what women have to deal with. Why are you trying to be funny? Women don't have to be funny.
Very true.
Why are you trying to work with kids?
But maybe why did you want to work with kids?
Because I enjoy helping kids grow into functional members of society.
And it's also fun to play with blocks. Like, you get to play and be fun with kids.
Yes, but am I the only person that was ever suspicious of your career choice?
You know what? Even though you're from the Bay, a lot of the Bay Area parents thought it was so cool that there was like teachers who were like in bands or like.
Right, like, I can see that.
You know, and
but remember when I grew up in San Francisco, it was different. We had hippies, but they're like dirty hippies.
Yeah.
So San Francisco's changed a lot.
Right.
Now
right.
They're all about like, we compost. I just took a dump in my garbage can.
Yeah.
That's a different hippie. You know what I mean?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a different city. But yeah, I can see that.
You know what though? Like all the kids that I could reach kids that other kinds of teachers couldn't reach. Like there's lots of kids who are like really out of control.
Oh, really?
That, like, I had no problem with.
And you never wanted to put your hand down their pants.
No. Not once. Not once.
All right,
so this
fair
guy
enough.
Gave you a creep vibe. There's a difference.
He gave me a creep vibe. Yeah. But again, am I just being like a paranoid, you know, am I just...
Well, it's your kid. I mean...
It's your kid, number one. And also, my kid started daycare right when the whole Sandusky thing started.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So you might have already been heightened.
Started? It's the 70s?
Started.
Carrie, you're not that old. Please.
I know. No. Why am I being so hard on myself?
Yeah.
No, when everything was uncovered.
Yeah.
Finally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was way high alert.
Yeah.
Very skittish and jumpy about everything.
Turns out it's way more likely to be an uncle or a
100%.
Cousin.
Yeah, it's always somebody closer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not always. Jerry Sandusky is an example.
Yes.
But I'm saying, like, statistically, it's usually somebody close.
Or a priest.
I think it's because I had a male babysitter who made me touch his penis.
Jesus.
Oop, did I just say that?
Yeah.
I was 5. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why in my mind, I'm always like, well, every dude has an agenda.
Yep.
No.
It's bad news. I know. I shouldn't be so bigoted towards you.
Yeah, no, because I like the kind of girl who will smash my car and set my stuff on fire. And 6-year-olds can't do that yet. So
that's actually they can.
But it would be an accident. It wouldn't be out of hate.
Is that the thing? Is that the thing that gets you? Is that the chick you're
after? Apparently.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Again, statistically.
Statistically,
there's always
an
outlier, but statistically.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've had that in the past?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot? Like it's a thing?
A few times, yeah. A few times.
So how are you picking these chicks?
You know what it
is? Are you picking them up from the jail that they're being released?
He sees them on the pile of rubble from the previous dude, and he's like, I like her. Maybe she'll turn my shit into ashes.
You know what it is? It's that I also come from a very, like, you know, rebellious back. Where I end up and where I meet people, you only get there with a lot of trauma. So,
I see.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I meet people who have a similar background to me, and we're both powder kegs. Except I always take it out on myself, and I date people who take it out on other people.
And you pass the background test.
Yeah. You got to get past this. I'm no longer currently teaching, but I was a great preschool teacher.
I totally believe you. No, now I have a backup babysitter.
Actually, one of my co-teachers listens to this podcast. I got a text from them yesterday.
Oh, very
Angie.
Nice.
Hello, Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, Angie. Yeah, I am super suspicious of everyone. I had a babysitter. Oh, here's something that I can complain about.
So is that the thing? It's like, it's only that it's a dude that you would be suspicious of? Like, has there ever been like a chick at a daycare or something like that that you've ever been suspicious of?
I've looked at some of them and been like, you seem like you're lazy. Mm-hmm. You know, like the kid is like, read a book to me. She's like, no, I don't like green eggs and ham, whatever next. Like you can tell you're not into this at all. But yeah, I mean, I think having when you're 5 and having an adult, he wasn't an adult, he was probably 16, but someone that you look at as an adult to say, touch my penis. You're like, huh? I think I'm not going to trust anybody from now on. Yeah. You know, like that's your plan.
I think that's a good attitude.
It is a good attitude.
Yeah.
But I had a babysitter who was with us for a year on and off, just kind of like when I would need her. Like I got a gig in Irvine. I got to leave at 3 to get there on time, you know? So she'd come
the day
and watch
before.
watch the kids. And a year went by. She was at my old preschool, vetted by the preschool. Uh-huh. That's how I found her. And, She calls me one day to cancel. I was like, oh, okay. Is everything all right? She goes, well, I forgot to tell you that I'm a paranoid schizophrenic with bipolar disorder.
Slipped my mind.
Wow.
Slipped one of my minds.
I was just like, oh, and I made it real cash. Like she was telling me she was gluten free. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
Sure.
And I go, oh, okay. She goes, yeah, my doctor says he's going to change my meds and I shouldn't be around children until they really kick in.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So you're not canceling today.
Yeah.
You're canceling a month or so.
Right. And I go, no, you're canceling forever.
Yeah, I mean, you're never coming. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks. Good luck to you. And I hope you find the right combination of meds. And how did you ever get a job with children? But okay. And so that just kind of like, oh, man, who can you trust?
Because
I know my kids' daycare, and I know that they do, you know, they vet them, and they do background checks and all that. But I don't think that you can ask someone's medical personal history. Or can you?
I mean,
I'm certain you could ask them, but they could probably lie to you about it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you can get like their actual medical records.
Yeah.
From what I understand is the minimum requirement is a DOJ, Department of Justice background check, but most schools go a step further with an FBI background check. Good. And I think that would come up if you were doing an FBI background check.
Oh, really? The med?
I think it would.
I'm very sweaty because my baby is crying and
the baby's sweaty too.
A little bit of pee in my pants.
And there's a little bit of pee in the baby's pants.
She's sweaty because yeah.
So Kira, I just tell everybody how to find you.
I mean, probably deep in the valley soon. Because we're moving.
Pushing a kid on a swing.
Yeah. No, I'm at Kira Comedy on most things. You'll find me beating this child in the garage in a minute is where you'll find me. If you want to look for me, KiraComedy.com is my website. Eat apple. We're going to go eat apple.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on, lady.
Thanks, kids.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of No, Sir, I Don't Like It. I was going to give Carmen a chance to say something, but I'll just keep rolling.
We appreciate it. Don't stop, please.
We want to give a shout out to Matt Maloney. He sent us a very lovely, cunty email that I found really funny. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph so you guys know that Matthew Maloney, who's also a comedian in Los Angeles, you should check out. But he wrote, "I don't like that you whine about getting zero emails from listeners. Hopefully this will prevent that for at least 1 week. You know you're not celebrities. Why would you expect people to take time to write in? Be grateful you have listeners." That is the exact tone I'm looking for in an email, and he nailed it. I feel like he's like, "I don't like that you ask us to write in what we don't like about the show. We listen to it, don't we? Obviously, we like it." Another great point. He also said, "I don't like that your contact information is hard to find." And then he also
said, in all fairness, we do say the email like on almost every podcast.
Yeah, but he said we say it so fast and it's not on the bio, any of the bios or anything. So thank you for that, Matt. And then also earlier in this podcast, when we were talking about teachers listening to the podcast, we gave a shout out to Angie. And Angie also followed up with me about fathers. She has two kids and a wonderful husband. And Carmen was talking on the last episode, I believe.
No, you were talking about the baby dicks. That was all you, buddy.
Yeah, but you were saying that a father's biggest fear is their daughter sucking dicks.
I think that's a big fear, for sure.
Right, but I'm pretty sure you were saying at the time that it was the biggest fear. And so she asked her husband, who's the father of her children, about if that's his biggest fear. And he seemed to be more concerned about his daughter eating baby dick cookies than sucking real dicks, which I think is an appropriate response.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think cookies are safer than dicks in general.
I just think, I mean, Zach is also the most low-key, cool dude ever.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the coolest guy I've ever met. So anyway, thank you, Angie, for sending in that response.
We also had a tweet that we wanted to respond to. Hey, Bri, who is at... My girl thinks. Yeah, he doesn't like... What was it, Brian?
It said, "I don't like when people say, 'Oh, you would have loved it.' My girlfriend's mom is constantly telling me what I'd love, and she's been wrong every time."
Do you have that? I have a family member that's like that, but they're like... It's just like when you get a shitty gift, and you're like, "Oh, man, you don't have no idea who I am."
Yeah. Oh, no, my dad's always like, "You would love this part of town. And all that means is there's bars on the windows." That's all it means. Sometimes he's right. Sometimes he's wrong.
But yeah, I think sometimes people just like they'll take tiny little attributes of you and then be like, think they have you all figured out. Yeah. And it's always
tattoos?
Way off. Yeah.
Oh, you must like Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Like, what? No. No, I don't. We're with you on that one.
For sure.
I don't like that either. And it's funny. The family knows you the best and the least.
Yeah. I think they think they know you the best, but a lot of times they know you the least.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I try as hard as I can for my family not to know the real me.
That's really good, Brian. That's really helpful.
That's the New England side of me.
I think I think like two people in my family know who I am. And I think the rest of them think they know.
Well, your mom is the biggest supporter of the podcast.
She's great.
It took me forever to realize Dee Morales
is my mom.
Is your mom. She reposts every single No Sir, I Don't Like It mm-hmm. post on Facebook.
Yep.
She's
a big sharer.
Yeah,
she's a big sharer. I don't even know if she's listening to it. I doubt it, actually, to be honest. I don't think she listens to it, but at least she shares it, you know, to the people that are
the only time I met her, I was in a fight with you.
Oh, that's right.
And I trashed you to her.
Yeah, she's still cool.
I'm pretty sure I told your mom that her daughter is a bitch.
Did you? No, you didn't.
Something. It was like I did it. I delivered it in a way that she knew I was kidding.
Yeah.
But I said something mean to you about you to her.
Yeah, I was raised by mean people. Like, it's not mm-hmm. a big deal. She was just like, oh, so you guys are friends. Anyways, guys, if you have stuff that you don't like, or if you have something about the podcast you don't like, make sure you guys contact us. I will say the email very slowly. It is nosiridontlikeitpodcast@gmail.com. That email comes directly to Brian and I. And if there's stuff that you don't like, stuff that, yeah, tell us.
And check out Kira Sultanovich. She's so fucking funny.
She's hilarious. Yeah. Kira at Kira Comic. You can also follow us if you don't follow us on our stuff at No Sir Pod on Instagram, Twitter. Make sure you guys like us and review us. Drop us a nice little line on
or
the
don't
iTunes.
Like us. Just pay attention to us.
Either way, just review us.
I don't need you to like me. I just need you. That's thanks. My wedding vow to the audience member.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What is the fucking matter? What is the stupid one?
What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter?
What
is the
fucking matter?
What is
the stupid one?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.